The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. I called it a bittersweet Tuesday, Dom. Perhaps more like a afternoon delight.
It's Josh Call afternoon. Welcome to it.
Josh Call, if you're joining us late, and Rich will lightly screen your calls if you'd like to be a part of this big program, 844-967-2789. The news out of our backyard in the great state of Wisconsin, Dom, the Attorney General has finally brought charges, felonious charges, against three co-conspirators in the fake elector scheme. He has neglected to bring charges against the 10 that participated in the actual fake electing, casting fake ballots on behalf of Trump, even though Joe Biden won the state of Wisconsin.
And but it's an ongoing investigation, according to Wisconsin Attorney General Call.
And nothing yet upstream, and I'm looking at you, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, conduit for the passage of the forged documents onto the vice president, and also, perhaps I'm looking at now convicted felon, former President Donald Trump. Future indictees. We'll see. That would be more delightful indeed, Dom.
Indeed.
So that, in part, is how we've started our day, just sort of observing what has happened and longing for just a little bit more. I would always trade it all for just a little bit more, Dom.
Just 10 more. And I, you know, again, these 10 fraudulent false electors in the state of Wisconsin settled a civil suit brought by two of the actual Biden electors in the state of Wisconsin. I think Law Forward was the attorney group in that case. As part of that settlement, they released troves of information and acknowledged that their effort was an attempt to overturn the election. But we did nothing wrong. We did nothing wrong, they also claim.
How long before you think Wisconsin Republicans start defending the actions of the false Trump electors and the newly indicted?
Senator Johnson already put it, this is outrageous, right? That's what he tweeted out. The Democrats weaponizing the justice system. Well, you know, maybe if you repubs stopped doing the criming, we wouldn't have to do it. Let's talk about what you really did here, Ron. You're trying to overthrow the government, trying to throw out my vote in an effort to instill a dictator? What do you call someone who you keep in office when the majority of people in a democratic society voted him out? I don't know what that term is, but that's what you tried to do, Ron, and all you Republicans like Andrew Hitt, who led the Republican Party in the state of Wisconsin, Bob Spindell, who's on this Wisconsin Election Commission, if you can believe that still, that's what they tried to do. And that's, I find that very problematic.
I know you do. Dom, you know, the Attorney General of the United States went up to the Hill today, and he was under some fire from Republicans, of course. They accused Merrick Garland of politicizing things, and I would, you know, before we jump into the coverage here, I would point out the irony. Merrick Garland should be on the U.S. Supreme Court. And of course, the Republicans, including Ron Johnson, in 2016, never gave the man a hearing, a confirmation hearing, an up or down vote. Now he's the Attorney General, and they claim he is a partisan tool of the Biden administration. Garland responded today, "I will not be intimidated although I don't think his voice could possibly have the same force or temper as Crudy's.
Wow.
Garland rebukes contempt threats from the House GOP. Coverage from the Post. Attorney General Merrick Garland today forcefully defended Justice Department against repeated attacks from Republican lawmakers that he said have undermined investigations and put federal employees in harm's way. Now, Garland's pointed testimony before the House Judiciary Committee came as the House GOP leaders have threatened to hold him in contempt, the Attorney General of the United States in contempt, because they've failed to gain access to audio recordings from Special Counsel Robert Hur's investigation into President Biden's handling of classified documents. Now, I'm sure it says this here. They've got the transcripts. That's all you need, right, Tom?
Well, they want something to, you know, a little more, I don't know, insulting, something that can drag him through the mud under. Maybe he stutters a bit in the audio, and that's what the Republicans want out there. They want some more meat.
Now, Dominic, Biden asserted executive privilege in April to keep the recordings from public view after Garland requested he do so over concerns that releasing them could do harm to future efforts to get officials to cooperate with the investigation and sit for taped interviews. And I would again contrast this with Donald Trump. Did Donald Trump go and give sworn testimony, get back the documents? Talking about the classified documents, you know, the Palm Beach, the Eileen Cannon case.
No, and in fact, he instructed his attorney to lie about it, to my understanding.
Now, at the hearing, Garland, the attorney general, accused Republicans of seeking contempt as a means of obtaining, for no legitimate purpose, sensitive law enforcement information that could harm the integrity of future investigations. This effort is only the most recent in a long line of attacks on the Justice Department's work. And GOP members used the hearing to ramp up criticism of Garland to paint his department as politically motivated in what they alleged was a desperate, legal treatment of Biden and former President Donald Trump. You know, Trump, who was convicted last week of 34 felony counts of falsifying business records in a New York State court. In a letter to House Republicans last month, the White House said transcripts of the Biden interviews with her have already been provided to lawmakers and accused Republicans of wanting to distort the recordings for political gain. No, they would never do that, Joe. Her concluded in a lengthy report last fall that no criminal charges were warranted against Biden for his handling of classified materials after leaving the White House as vice president in 17. But as you know, her sharply criticized Biden's age.
Crudy, GOP leaders called HER's investigations politically compromised and railed against federal charges filed by another special counsel, Jack Smith, alleging the former President Trump improperly kept classified documents after leaving the White House and failed to heed requests from investigators to return them. Justice is no longer blind in America. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan, GYM, you know, the same guy who didn't show up when he was supposed to, today is driven by politics. Example number one is President Trump. And I would remind the congressman that he is not a president. He is a former president, or if you prefer, convicted felon. Rep. Andy Biggs, the Republican from Arizona, said Republicans wanted access to the audio recordings to determine whether the transcripts matched not just what Biden told her, but also the context in which he said it, including long pauses and stutters that her described. Biggs suggested the recordings could provide greater clarity about whether the president should have been charged. Substantively, the transcripts may be accurate, but you know what? The audio would tell us so much more. That angered Democrats, who accused Biggs and others of trying to exploit the matter to paint Biden as infirm and boost Trump, the presumptive Republican presidential nominee, in an election year. Biggs gave up the game, said Ted Lieu, a Democrat from California, accusing Biggs of wanting the recordings because Joe Biden stutters. He has had a stuttering problem his whole life, and he overcame that disability to become the president. It's despicable that my Republican colleagues want to go after him. A Rep. Jerry Nadler from New York, the ranking Democrat, ripped his GOP colleagues on the committee for becoming, quote, little more than a field office for the Trump campaign. These Republicans don't care about what's in the interest of the American people. They just care about getting their favorite felon back in the White House. Justice Department's spokeswoman said Garland's goal at the hearing was to push back against false narratives regarding the department's employees and their works. In his remarks, Garland said, quote, "I view contempt as a serious matter, but I will not jeopardize the ability of our prosecutors and agents to do their jobs effectively in future investigations. I will not be intimidated. The Justice Department will not be intimidated. We will continue to do our jobs free from political interference or influence, pardon me, and we will not back down from defending democracy." Garland also rebutted Republicans' criticism of Trump's conviction last week in New York on 34 felony counts of falsifying business records. Trump and his GOP allies have falsely claimed that state prosecutors brought the case at the urging of the Biden administration and the Justice Department, even though federal prosecutors had declined to pursue the matter. At the hearing, Rep. Matt Gaetz, oh God, from Florida, repeated claims Republicans have made without evidence that former Justice Department Matthew Colangelo, now an assistant DA in Manhattan who helped prosecute Trump, was dispatched, quote unquote, by Garland to bring the case. "That is false. I did not dispatch Colangelo," Garland said. Gaetz replied, "Do you know how he ended up there?" The attorney general said, "I assume he applied for a job there and got it." Garland called the suggestion that his office has exerted influence in the New York case a conspiracy theory that is an attack on the judicial process itself. "These repeated attacks on the Justice Department are unprecedented and they are unfounded. These attacks have not and they will not influence our decision making." Attorney General speaking today in Congress.
You know, it's very ironic. One of the Democrats on the Judiciary Committee during the questioning asked Merrick Garland, "Hey, Merrick, are we prosecuting Bob Menendez?" "Yes, we are. Is he a Democrat?" "I think so." "How about Cuellar from Texas? Are we prosecuting him?" "Why, yes, we are." You know, the allegation, of course, by the Republicans, there's no equal justice for Trump. And then he went on, he asked about Hunter Biden. "Oh, yes, Hunter Biden also apparently going to trial in Delaware at this very day." While Merrick Garland's testifying, Hunter Biden's trial is going on. And then he basically pointed over at Matt Gaetz and he said, "And Matt Gaetz was not prosecuted, right? Aren't you the example that there are not political prosecutions, Matt Gaetz?" Because there were some salacious allegations made against Matt and teenage girls, not of legal age, and sexual improprieties that he bragged about on the House floor with pictures.
Was a term also included in that allegation?
Never charged. Never charged. But it's selective prosecution of Trump.
Good afternoon. I'm legendary anchorman Ron Burgundy. Now, if you don't think this song is the greatest song ever, I will fight you. That's no lie.
We are back from the board. Want to break. Thank you for listening to the Devil Advocates Radio Show. Phone lines are open, as are the text lines, 844-967-2789. Call now our pal Joseph Pecky. He's a Dem strategist. He's going to join us at the bottom of the hour.
Dominic, according to one of my favored aggregators, the Raw Story, this originally reported at CNN, Speaker Mike Johnson, MAGA Mike, has got a new plan. They're going to defund the Department of Justice. This, in conjunction with the hearing at the House Judiciary Committee, you know, yesterday they had Fauci on the hot seat, and today, why, it's Merrick Garland. So Speaker Johnson presented, according to Raw Story and CNN, presented a three-prong approach of oversight, funding, and legislation. Specifically,
got a plan.
Well, I'm not sure if you're going to like the plan, Dom. Johnson specifically walked through the funding cuts that the House Judiciary Chair, Jim Jordan, had proposed to the Appropriations Committee, the sources added. It's going to defund the DOJ. Just as U.S. Rep. Matt Gaetz did Tuesday morning in a House Judiciary Committee hearing with Attorney General Merrick Garland, Johnson conflated the state of New York's prosecution with the federal cases against Donald Trump. Federal and state prosecutions, as you may know, are separate things. In remarks to the press, Johnson echoed those he made earlier Tuesday while adding claims about the state of the 2024 presidential race between President Biden and ex-president, now convicted felon, Donald Trump. Johnson under fire for what some experts see is a possible admission he's been talking to Supreme Court justices about the Trump prosecutions. Here's the quote. Brief former President Trump on the plan before announcing it Tuesday morning, according to Foxy News reports. The defund the DOJ. Gotta call Trump first.
We're gonna defund the police. Is that what we're doing? I just want to be clear. Defund the police.
Johnson called the prosecution of the ex-president a new low and dangerous. The speaker claimed people realize that we've reached a new low. And when you have activist prosecutors and the Democratic Party who are so desperate because of the presidential campaign and the way it's going, they understand that Donald Trump, all the polling shows, is crushing Joe Biden. They're in panic mode on the Democratic side, Johnson continued. And they're so desperate to stop Donald Trump. He's winning in the swing states. He's winning amongst the people. He's winning among new demographics that have never voted Republican before. They see this happening and they're so desperate to stop him that they're willing to use the judicial system to do so. Now, you may know, Dom, Trump was indicted by grand juries on a total of 91 felonies.
Grand juries? You mean citizens that were called to duty, to a grand jury duty, presented with evidence and made a determination? Certainly there were Trumpsters in those grand juries.
Well, Dom, three of the charges have been dropped, so technically only 88 remain. Although 34 of those are convictions now.
31 are under the Espionage Act.
Dom, 2 months ago, MAGA Mike Johnson also threatened to defund the Department of Justice and other agencies. We also advanced cuts to some of the agencies we believe are really overreaching and have been turned in some ways against the American people. We're going to cut 3% from the Department of Justice, 7% from the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, 6% from the FBI, and 10% from the Environmental Protection Agency, told reporters.
EPA? Well, what do they got to do with this?
EPA. 844-967-2789.
So there's a state conviction, so we're going to defund the federal government. Gotcha. And pardon me, Mr. Johnson, if you believe that perhaps the Department of Justice and our justice system is somehow overreaching and turned in some ways against the American people, Black Lives Matters has something to say about that. 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, you are up. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah, and thanks, Don, for bringing up that Jimmy Jordan didn't show up for his summons, you know, nope, to testify. That he's in contempt right there. I mean, it's really rich that these guys are doing this kind of thing. I mean, that my lesser angels are just whispering in my ear sometimes. You know, it's too bad at the end of the Civil War we didn't decimate the Southern male population by 10% like the Romans would have done after you know, crushing an enemy in a Civil War. I mean, because it is just...
Come on, Mark, they've had time to repopulate, even...
It's been a while.
I mean, that seems like a stretch to me, but they would have grown back.
And the point I'm making is that part of this is that the Southerners, it seems, and perhaps I'm being unjust here, but I've read history enough, and I've read enough contemporary, you know, that the Southerners are still fighting the Civil War. I mean, and they still want to bring down the Republic. I mean, that's what... You get guys like Mike Johnson and Matt Gaetz and unfortunately Jim Jordan from Ohio, which he must have forgotten. Ohio was actually in the Union during the Civil War, but they're trying to bring down the Republic, and they proved that on January 6th with their failure to condemn Donald Trump for what he did, trying to bring down the Republic. He committed treason on January 6th. He gunned those people up, and Gary, God bless you. Just because Trump said go in peace, you know, go in peace, it doesn't negate the whole thing that the way he had them fired up prior to that insurrection on January 6th.
Right on, Mark. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. 844.
Go in peace, Mark.
2789. Go in peace. Peace be with you.
So, more devil's advocates. We've got Joe Sopecki joining us very, very soon. And later in this big show, we got Maggie Dawn. Of course, the big news. It's Josh Call Afternoon in the state of Wisconsin. Felonious charges against three Cheesebro, Troupas, and Mike Roman. And if you don't know who Jim Troupas is, look him up. It's worth the Google. More Devil's Advocates, where your afternoon delight, especially when Joe Z joins. He's next.
Looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Rubbing sticks and stones together makes the sparks ignite. The thought of loving you is getting so exciting. Skyline rockets in flight. Oh, afternoon delight.
I'm talking about enjoying a bowl of chicken soup with a Reuben and then making dirty Reuben love.
Afternoon delight.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Tuesday edition, bittersweet, but it's getting better. Joe Sopecki, fine dim strategist, friend of ours, joins right now live via stream. Joe, welcome back to what some call, describe as the greatest radio show ever.
Hey, Joe.
In this galaxy and beyond?
Everywhere.
Man. I know we have a non-exclusive relationship, but we're pretty good. I don't know if you've heard that.
Just lost security.
Hey, we're not feeding our
guys.
How
are we doing, Joe? You still got me?
I got you, babe. That's all we need. And that's what I'm here to talk about. Speaking of a galaxy far, far away, we're here to talk about the new Star Wars show that's coming out tonight, right?
Wait,
that's
what?
The big,
oh, I didn't know.
That's the big news of the day, The Acolyte.
I did not know.
Yeah, well, nerd alert, The nerd Acolyte alert. Comes out in about 4 hours on Disney Plus.
Is it about Trump supportive?
Right back on topic.
Joe, when I initially reached out to you last week, it was, you know, after the Trump conviction. Certainly we'll get to that. But the news of the day here in the great state of Wisconsin, and hell, it's national, it's everywhere. Attorney General Josh Call from Wisconsin filed felony criminal charges against what? Jim Troupas, Ken Cheesebro, and what? Mike Roman. For their effort in the conspiracy to overturn the election, the false elector scheme. Joe, we were hoping to call it Josh Call Day, but he didn't indict those who actually signed the docs. So it's the Josh Call Afternoon. It's a step in the right direction. What's your reaction, sir?
I was surprised pleasantly that there was anything. The vibe that I had gotten from the attorney general was that he was going to be very deferential to federal prosecutors, to the special counsel Jack Smith, and to the whatever the other states were doing, that given Attorney General Call's background as a federal prosecutor, he, I'm sure, has experienced some times where dual track federal and state investigators and legal processes can kind of get in each other's way. And my read of the perception of reticence on his part was that it was that perspective that was making him less likely to move forward until some of that federal stuff had played out. So something changed. I don't know if that's Andrew Hitt, his sort of media blitz made him more willing, or made other Republicans more willing to come in and have conversations with investigators. But something clearly changed, and accountability and justice matters. It is important if you try to steal an election that the people who try to steal the election face a consequence for it. I share some of that initial thing of like, well, wait a minute, this is a pretty short list, and this was a pretty deeply involved conspiracy. Yeah. You know, not one of those fake QAnon conspiracies, an actual conspiracy to overturn an American election. But I also didn't read anything in today's filings or hear anything from the attorney general that suggested that the door is shut on future prosecutions, future criminal charges being brought. And so once again, we find ourselves in the familiar position of having to say, well, I guess we got to wait and see. This is going to play itself out. And we've been waiting and seeing for too damn long. It's 3.5 years.
Right.
And the fact that we, you know, justice delayed is justice denied. And the fact that we are going to have an American election for president before all of this has been litigated is concerning. It's too bad. The timing is not ideal.
Joe Sapecki, you ask, what changed?
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That is Joe Sapecki from Sapecki Communications. So not ideal timing, not sufficient in our mind. The attorney generals from the state of Michigan, the attorney general from Arizona, I mean, they've been on the ball. They've been doing this. What, any sense of opinion why it would have been delayed to this degree?
No, other than what I mentioned. So, you know, a lot of people may have forgotten that Josh Call was a federal prosecutor in Baltimore. That is a, you know, for anybody who's seen The Wire, which is not entirely a work of fiction, I don't need to tell you, that's a pretty tough jurisdiction, and it's a busy U.S. attorney's office. And so I am sure that at some point along the way, like the Maryland state investigators and federal, you know, U.S. attorneys were investigating criminal conspiracies at the same time. And that my sense, based on what he had said and the way he had talked about it, was that it just, because of his experience, let the federal folks do their thing. And so, you know, I think they should all face accountability. What that looks like, I don't know. The single charge of forgery kind of pales in comparison to some of the charges elsewhere. Yeah. But I also wouldn't be surprised if in the next couple of days, what we hear is that there are guilty pleas on deck and ready to go. And that may be part of the calculus here of, you could try to throw the whole book at them, or you can make sure that they are, you know, going to plead out. And this is not going to be a big time and resources suck on the State Department of Justice at a time when there's plenty of other stuff going on.
Well, Kenneth Cheesebro has shown an indication to deal in other cases as well. So maybe there's some cooperation going on there. You mentioned Andrew Hitt, the former head of the Wisconsin GOP, doing the media blitz, right? He went out there on the 60 Minutes and said, oh, you know, this is very, very difficult.
I know nothing.
We were fooled.
It seemed a little Sergeant Schultz. No idea.
Now, this is a guy who ran the party here in the state of Wisconsin. This is a guy who as an attorney specifically like focuses on election law, for crying out loud. What's your sense? Do you believe that he didn't know what they were doing? That Bob Spindell didn't know what they were getting into? The Wisconsin Elections Commissioner.
I don't buy it. This was a well thought out plot. We have seen the text messages. We have seen the emails. And for Republicans who historically have liked to say about Democrats, ignorance of the law is no defense.
Yeah, right.
Oh, you didn't know that was illegal? tough tomatoes.
You know now.
Yeah, you don't get to do that. I mean, they were reading United States Senator Ron Johnson in on this plan a week ahead of time. Everyone in the Republican Party establishment knew what was going on. They knew what the play was. They knew what the move was. And instead of blowing the whistle and alerting federal investigators, they went along with it. You know, there are classes and categories of people in certain professions in this country who are what are called mandatory reporters. You familiar with this? Like if you work in a school and you believe that a child is being abused, you are a mandatory reporter. You will get in trouble if you don't report that to CPS or to a relevant authority locally. I want to know why a United States senator is not a mandatory reporting position when someone is trying to overturn an American election. Like, what are we even doing here? And for Ron Johnson to tweet what he did today,
yeah,
and I'm sure you guys have read it, is so disgusting. Like, these people are beyond shame at this point. And I just, it's sad, because I think you guys probably agree with me that there was a time when Ron Johnson, as wrong as we may have thought he was on some issues, sure, you could have a conversation with him.
Yeah.
You could have a respectful disagreement. And he, like so much of the Republican Party, has gone so far down the rabbit hole that he's barely recognizable from the guy he used to be.
Joe, don't you think that could be in part
Joe Sopecki Communications Dem strategist joining us. His quote specifically called it outrageous show. And this is a common theme among the MAGAs. Democrats weaponizing Wisconsin's judiciary. Apparently conservative lawyers advising clients is illegal under Democrat tyranny. Democrats are turning America into a banana republic. Now, these are the same kind of things I've heard right-wing Fox Lies hosts say, Mike Johnson, and pick your MAGA. This is the theme. This is the theme. And we had Fauci testifying yesterday. What is the common theme here, Joe? To me, it's everything's rigged. The election is rigged, right? The health system is rigged. The justice system is rigged. I mean, everything. And then they'd we have to do something because the American people, Joe, they're losing faith in our institutions. Well, they're the ones that are if not lying about the circumstances, certainly in doing everything they can to endeavor to undermine the institutions. Hell, they tried to overturn the election, Joe. How do we get over that? How do we move past this?
We have to vote them all out. I mean, that's like unfortunately, that's the way it's got to go. Is we need to have long memories, and like Ron Johnson's not up for another couple of years.
Yeah.
And hopefully by the time that he is in 2028, Donald Trump is a distant memory in our politics. He's probably absconded on a private jet to a non-extradition country to avoid some type of jail term and taken most of the family with him. And Mitch McConnell and Mike Johnson and the rest of them have been run out of the party. But there will be remnants of this Trump MAGA wing around for a very long time. And what we need to do is remember that the price to be paid has to be you lose your job. You don't get to be the arsonist who lights the fire and then calls the fire department and says, boy, somebody should really do something about this, and escape any accountability whatsoever. It's on us, unfortunately. But that, I could make an argument that in the long sweep of American history, it's always come down to us, because there's always been the occasional bad apple and crooked politician. What's different this time is how the rot within the Republican Party has become so central to the Republican Party. They gave it away for nothing, for a tax cut that expires very soon. And so, here we are, man.
Here we are. And ironically, we hear the Law and Order Party wanting to defund the police. They want to defund DOJ. Of course, DOJ, we had these cases brought against Donald Trump. There was grand jury. They sat. They looked at the evidence. Certainly, there were Trump supporters in some of those grand juries. And they went down and they decided that this is how it was going to go, how it was going to go. But this one in New York, the 34 felony counts, that's a state charge, man. And they're out there specifically, intentionally misleading certainly their supporters, because you and I know, Joe, these are two totally separate things. DOJ has nothing to do with Alvin Bragg. Hell, the president couldn't tell Alvin Bragg to drop the charges if he wanted to. He's got no authority over Alvin Bragg. Big news last week, of course. Joe, your thoughts on the 34 convictions.
I genuinely believe it was both the best day in American history and a very sad day in American history. So let's start with why it was
Tolstoy? It was the best of times. It was the worst of times, Joe.
Crudy's not just good looking. He's well read, too. I was waiting for somebody to pick up on that.
No, don't let him fool you. He never got past the first page, man.
No, but the reason is it was the best day in American history is we had never fully tested the proposition that we were a nation of laws and not of men. There had never been an opportunity to fully test it before. It was a great idea, and it sparked the formation of a nation, right? But we finally fully tested the theory because 12 ordinary citizens picked through a process that is harder for the prosecution than it is for the defense, went into a jury room and deliberated about the guilt or innocence of a president of the United States, not a king, not a monarch, a former president, and they found him guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. So we passed that test from 246, 47, 48, somewhere in there, years ago, that we had never been faced with before. And that's a great thing. On the flip side, we are stuck now having to grapple with the fact that millions of Americans still believe that someone who is a convicted felon and a clearly a man of low to no character, and millions of people still support him. And we have to figure out why and what we do about it, because he has so captured the Republican Party. New polling I saw today, in April, 17% of Republicans said convicted felons should be allowed to be president. Today, 58%. Donald Trump was able to convince 41% of Republicans in this country in the span of 2 months that felons should be able to be president. Felons can't own firearms in Wisconsin, but we're going to put this guy in the ballot to have access to the biggest gun in the world, the nuclear football? What are we doing here, people?
What are we doing indeed? That's Joe Zepecki. He's our good friend. He's a Dem strategist. He's sticking around, right, Joe? I got to get a crack at Joe. More
Give
Devils.
Me a shot.
More Devils advocates on the other side. You stick around. Talking to you, Joe. Talking to all of you. More of your afternoon delight coming back.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Joe Zepecki, a Dem strategist. You can find him online at jzcoms.com, on Twitter at Joe Zepecki. Joe, I got some questions, but I know Crudy wants a few cracks at you. So go ahead, Crudy.
Well, Joe, I would just wonder, obviously the conviction, the 34 felony convictions, how should we be talking about this with the electorate? I mean, if it's not going to move the MAGA base, the guy's obviously a convicted felon. I cannot imagine being supportive of a convicted felon. But everyone from Scott Walker to Derek Van Orden and everyone in between in the Republican Party are completely embracive of this guy. And I find him to be abrasive, if you know what I'm saying. So, Joe, how should we be talking about this? You're the comms guy. Tell us dumb lay people that, you know, just happen to have a radio show. Now I can't hear Joe. Juror 13, on, Joe.
The first thing we should do is go off mute. The second thing we should do is not pretend that this is actually complicated. I want to share a quote I loved from Stuart Stevens of Everything Trump, or of It Was All a Lie fame. This is a Republican consultant. Quote, I worked in 5 presidential races and helped elect Republican governors or senators in over half the country. I have never heard anything more transparently desperate than a party trying to spin that there is some non-MAGA pool of voters who can't wait to vote for a convicted felon. That, like, if they want to say this is helping Trump, fine, but it's not even good spin. It is transparently, obviously, ridiculously dumb spin. They might get the MAGA voters to vote even harder for Donald Trump. Like, they might break the pencil. They might actually vote so hard they make a hole in the ballot. Maybe they even, like, leave a mark on the table because they're voting so hard for their guy. But they are not adding to their coalition. Donald Trump has not had a good election night since 2016. He got smoked in 2018. He got smoked in 2020. His candidates got smoked all over the country in 2022. And since his name was on the ballot and he lost in 2020, the worst two things have happened for him politically. January 6th, and we found out about the conspiracy to overturn the election, and the Dobbs decision that took away a woman's right to choose in this country. So you expect me to believe that someone who has had the worst two political things happen to them after they lost an election, who is now a 34 times over felony convict, we're supposed to believe that people aren't going to care about that? Call him a convict, point out the truth. This is a crooked politician surrounded by crooks and convicts and felons who cannot be trusted because He is in it for himself, not for you, the American people. And here's what Joe Biden has done for you, the American people. And here's what he's going to do to finish the job. It's just not that complicated.
Devil's advocates, our fine guest, Joe Sopecki, a fine Dem strategist. Okay, Joe, let's flip the coin for just a minute. The optics of the president of the United States, Joe Biden, using executive action to try and block asylum seekers from entering the United States. Joe, some would say this smacks of politics. As Biden tried to explain his executive action, he pointed squarely at Trump and said, well, congressional Republicans changed their tune once Trump said killed the bill. I'd love to get legislation, but I'm left with executive action. This doesn't seem to satisfy anyone exactly, though, Joe. Perhaps you, but I'm seeing both sides of the aisle complain about this action today. What's your hot take?
What I'm seeing is a president once again getting caught trying to do what the American people expect. And there is value in that. Listen, for 30 years, nobody has got it right on the border. The last guy, Trump, almost everything he did via executive action on the border or on immigration was found to be illegal or unconstitutional. And so what Joe Biden believed that he had available to him on day one of his presidency was less authority than Donald Trump had. And as a creature of the United States Senate, Joe Biden would always there rather be a bill. So he worked with negotiators, including James Lankford, one of the most conservative Republicans there is, to get the toughest border bill in American history, and Republicans spiked it. But Joe Biden has to get caught trying. He has to demonstrate to the American people he understands their frustrations and their concerns and shares them, that Republicans walked away from the deal because the Orange God King told them they had to. And so my guess is what they have done today will be challenged in court. A lot of it will probably be ruled illegal or unconstitutional. And round we will continue to go, where one party, the Democratic Party, wants to solve the issue, where the other party, Republicans, almost all of them, with the exception of James Lankford and the Republicans who negotiated that deal in good faith, would rather demagogue on the issue and use it to score political points than actually fix the issue. That's the reality. That's where we are.
Joe Sopecki, last 60 seconds for you, sir. Do you think that this Republican, I don't know, you call it rot, let's say whatever's going on in the mega party right now, that this is something that is brought by Trump to infect, or is it something that has always been there and Trump just gave it permission to come out into the light?
I think two things can be true at the same time and almost always are. And so the reality is it was a perfect storm of the right conditions and the right person. And when a storm has perfect conditions, it becomes even more powerful. And that's why it's going to literally take Republicans a generation at least to excise the MAGA cancer from their party and from our body politic. And that's too bad.
I understand Don Jr. coming to Green Bay a little bit later. We'll let you go, Joe, so you can attend the big fundraiser for Tony Weed. Always great to see you, Joe Sopecki, our friend. He's a Dem. Got more friends joining us next in the Happier Happy Hour. Attorney Maggie Dawn. Joe, appreciate what you do, Juror 13. The rest of you, stick around. More Devil's Advocates. Thank you, Joe.